Good afternoon. Welcome to Aremis Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And Jane Aniceto.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today, the 7th of February, 2020, we are presenting to you a St. Field R, broadcasting from the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hokesin, Delaware. We are going to talk about St. Blaise, St. Ansgar, St. Agatha, St. Paul Mickey and Companions, Our Lady of Virtue, St. Jerome Emiliani, and St. Josephine Bakita. We will also talk about what we should know about First Fridays. As usual, before we proceed on this hour of grace, where mercy triumphed over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking its omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners, by praying the chaplet of the divine mercy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement
for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, first we will talk about Saint Blaise, whose feast day was last February 3. He is the patron of throat illnesses, animals, wool combers, and wool trading. Saint Blaise was the bishop of Sebastea and a doctor. The first known record of the saint's life comes from the medical writings of Aetius Amidenus, where he is recorded as helping with patients suffering from objects stuck in their throat. Many of the miraculous aspects of Saint Blaise's life are written of 400 years after his martyrdom in the Acts of Saint Blaise. Saint Blaise is believed to begin as a healer then, eventually became a physician of souls. He then retired to a cave where he remained in prayer. People often turned to Saint Blaise for healing miracles. In 316, the governor of Cappadocia and of Lesser Armenia, Agricola, arrested then Bishop Blaise for being a Christian. On their way to the jail, a woman set her only son, who was choking to death, on a fishbone at his feet. Blaise cured the child, and though Agricola was amazed, he could not get Blaise to renounce his faith. Therefore, Agricola beat Blaise with a stick and tore his flesh with iron combs before beheading him. In another tale, Blaise was being led to the prison of Sebastea, and on the way came across a poor old woman whose pig has been stolen by a wolf. Blaise commanded the wolf return the pig, which it did, alive and uninjured, to the amazement of all. When he reached Sebastea, the woman came to him and brought two fine wax candles in an attempt to dispel the gloom of his darkened cell. In the Middle Ages, Blaise became quite popular, and his legend as a beast tamer spread. He was then referred to as the saint of the wild beast. Many German churches are dedicated to Saint Blaise, sometimes called Saint Blasius. In Great Britain, the village of Saint Blaise got its name from Saint Blaise, and a church dedicated to the saint can be found in Deacon Hamlet of Hacombe near Newton Abbot. There is a St. Blaise's well in Kent, and the water is believed to have medicinal properties. A blessing of the throat ceremony is held every February 3 at St. Etheldreda's Church in London and Balve, Germany. A Catholic middle school was named after St. Blaise in Bradford, West Yorkshire. The name was decided upon when the link between Bradford and the woolen industry was connected to the way St. Blaise was martyred, with a wool comb. St. Blaise is often depicted holding two crossed candles in his hand or in a cave with wild animals. He is also often shown with steel combs. The similarity of the steel combs and the wool combs made a large contribution to St. Blaise's leadership as the patron saint of wool combers and the wool trade. From being a healer of bodily ailments, St. Blaise became a physician of souls, then retired for a time to a cavern where he remained in prayer. As Bishop of Sebastea, Blaise instructed his people as much by his example as by his words, and the great virtues and sanctity of the servant of God were attested by many miracles. From all parts, the people came flocking to him for the cure of bodily and spiritual ills. He is said to have healed animals who came to the saint on their own for his assistance, and to have been assisted by animals. In 316, the governor of Cappadocia and Lesser Armenia, Agricolos, began a persecution by order of the Emperor Licinius, and St. Blaise was seized. After his interrogation and a severe scourging, he was hurried off to prison and subsequently beheaded. Blessing of the throats. St. Blaise is invoked for protection against injuries and illnesses of the throat. In many places, on the day of his feast, the blessing of St. Blaise is given. Two candles, sometimes lit, blessed on the feast of the presentation of the Lord, are held in a crossed position by a priest over the heads of the faithful or the people, are touched on the throat with them. At the same time, the following blessing is given. Through the intercession of St. Blaise, bishop and martyr, may God deliver you from every disease of the throat and from every other illness. Then the priest makes the sign of the cross over the faithful. Our next saint is St. Ansgar, whose feast day was also February 3. The apostle of the north, Scandinavia, had enough frustrations to become a saint, and he did. He became a Benedictine at Corbie, France, where he had been educated. 3 years later, when the king of Denmark became a convert, Ansgar went to that country for 3 years of missionary work without noticeable success. Sweden asked for Christian missionaries, and he went there, suffering capture by pirates and other hardships on the way. Fewer than 2 years later, he was recalled to become abbot of New Corvey, and bishop of Hamburg. The Pope made him legate for the Scandinavian missions. Funds for the Northern Apostolate stopped with Emperor Louis's death. After 13 years' work in Hamburg, Ansgar saw it burn to the ground by invading Northmen. Sweden and Denmark returned to paganism. He directed new apostolic activities in the north, traveling to Denmark, and being instrumental in the conversion of another king. By the strange device of casting lots, the king of Sweden allowed the Christian missionaries to return. Ansgar's biographers remark that he was an extraordinary preacher, a humble and ascetical priest. He was devoted to the poor and the sick, imitating the Lord in washing their feet and waiting on them at table. He died peacefully at Bremen, Germany, without achieving his wish to be a martyr. Sweden became pagan again after his death and remained so until the coming of missionaries 2 centuries later. Reflection. History records what people do rather than what they are. Yet the courage and perseverance of men and women like Ansgar can only come from a solid base of union with the original courageous and persevering missionary. Ansgar's life is another reminder that God writes straight with crooked lines. Christ takes care of the effects of the apostolate in his own way. He is first concerned about the purity of the apostles themselves. The next saint is Saint Agatha, whose feast day is on February 5. She is the patron of Sicily, Bell Founders, breast cancer, against fire, Palermo, rape victims, and wet nurses. Saint Agatha, also known as Agatha of Sicily, is one of the most highly venerated virgin martyrs of the Catholic Church. It is believed that she was born around 231 AD in either Catania or Palermo, Sicily, to a rich and noble family. From her very early years, the notably beautiful Agatha dedicated her life to God. She became a consecrated virgin, a state in life where young women choose to remain celibate and give themselves wholly to Jesus and the church in a life of prayer and service. That did not stop men from desiring her and making unwanted advances toward her. However, one of the men who desired Agatha, whose name was Quintianus, because he was of a high diplomatic ranking, thought he could force her to turn away from her vow and force her to marry. His persistent proposals were consistently spurned by Agatha. So Quintianus, knowing she was a Christian during the persecution of Decius, had her arrested and brought before the judge. He was the judge. He expected her to give in to his demands when she was faced with torture and possible death. But she simply reaffirmed her belief in God by praying, quote, "Jesus Christ, Lord of all, you see my heart. You know my desires. Possess all that I am. I am your sheep. Make me worthy to overcome the devil." Close quote. With tears falling from her eyes, she prayed for courage. To force her to change her mind, Quintianus had her imprisoned in a brothel. Agatha never lost her confidence in God, even though she suffered a month of assaults and efforts to get her to abandon her vow to God and go against her virtue. Quintianus heard of her calm strength and ordered that she be brought before him once again. During her interrogation, she told him that to be a servant of Jesus Christ was her true freedom. Enraged, Quintianus sent her off to prison instead of back to the brothel, a move intended to make her even more afraid, but it was probably a great relief to her. Agatha continued to proclaim Jesus as her Savior, Lord, life, and hope. Quintianus ordered her to be tortured. He had her stretched on a rack to be torn with iron hooks, burned with torches, and whipped. Noticing Agatha was enduring all the torture with a sense of cheer, he commanded she be subjected to a worse form of torture. This evil man ordered that her breasts be cut off. He then sent her back to prison with an order of no food or medical attention. But the Lord gave her all the care she needed. He was her sacred physician and protector. Agatha had a vision of the Apostle Saint Peter, who comforted her and healed her wounds through his prayers. After 4 days, Quintianus ignored the miraculous cure of her wounds. He had her stripped naked and rolled over naked over hot coals, which were mixed with sharp shards. When she was returned to prison, Agatha prayed, "Lord, my Creator, you have ever protected me from the cradle. You have taken me from the love of the world and given me patience to suffer. Receive now my soul." Agatha is believed to have passed into heaven around the year 251. She is commonly featured in religious art with shears, tongs, or breasts on a plate. Saint Agatha is the patron saint of Sicily, bell founders, breast cancer patients, Palermo, rape victims, martyrs, bakers, and wet nurses. She is also considered to be a powerful intercessor when people suffer from fires, earthquakes, and eruption of Mount Etna. Her feast day is celebrated on February 1st. Let us pray Saint Agatha's prayer. Saint Agatha, you suffered sexual assault and indignity because of your faith and purity. Help heal all those who are survivors of sexual assault and protect those women who are in danger. Amen. Next is a set of saints, actually. Saint Paul, Mickey, and companions. And their feast day is on February 6th. Nagasaki, Japan is familiar to Americans as the city on which the second atomic bomb was dropped, immediately killing over 37,000 people. 3.5 centuries before that, 26 martyrs of Japan were crucified on a hill, now known as the Holy Mountain, overlooking Nagasaki. Among them were priests, brothers and laymen, Franciscans, Jesuits, and members of the secular Franciscan order. There were catechists, doctors, simple artisans, and servants, old men and innocent children, all united in a common faith and love for Jesus and his church. Brother Paul Mickey, a Jesuit and a native of Japan, has become the best known among the martyrs of Japan. While hanging upon a cross, Paul Mickey preached to the people gathered for the execution. The sentence of judgment says, "These men came to Japan from the Philippines, but I did not come from any other country. I am a true Japanese. The only reason for my being killed is that I have taught the doctrine of Christ. I certainly did teach the doctrine of Christ. I thank God it is for this reason I die. I believe that I am telling only the truth before I die. I know you believe me, and I want to say to you all once again, ask Christ to help you to become happy. I obey Christ. After Christ's example, I forgive my persecutors. I do not hate them. I ask God to have pity on all, and I hope my blood will fall on my fellow men as a fruitful rain." When missionaries returned to Japan in the 1860s, at first they found no trace of Christianity. But after establishing themselves, they found that thousands of Christians lived around Nagasaki and that they had secretly preserved the faith. Beatified in 1627, the martyrs of Japan were finally canonized in 1862. Today, A new era has come for the church in Japan. Although the number of Catholics is not large, the church is respected and has total religious freedom. The spread of Christianity in the Far East is slow and difficult. Faith, such as that of the 26 martyrs, is needed today as much as in 1597.
Okay, at this point, I just want to remind people that today is actually a first Friday of the month. So we'd like to talk about the five things that Catholics should know about First Fridays. We should learn about the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the graces that come from observing First Fridays. It is no wonder, therefore, that our predecessors have constantly defended this most approved form of devotion, the pious devotion of the faithful toward the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus and the custom of receiving Holy Communion on the first Friday of every month at the desire of Jesus Christ, a custom which now prevails everywhere. So, what's so special about First Fridays? Our parents grew up going to church every first Friday of the month and taking part in Sacred Heart devotions. But in recent decades, the pious practice has fallen out of practice and is dismissed by some as an old-fashioned anachronism. A main reason for the decline in interest in this devotion is probably rooted in simple ignorance. People don't know what First Fridays are all about. Families and parishes may not have adequately passed down their importance to the next generation. Here are five things to know. How did the First Friday devotion begin? While some saints referenced the heart of Jesus in their writings even centuries earlier, in 1673, a French visitation nun named Margaret Mary Alacoque had visions of Jesus wherein he asked the church to honor his most sacred heart. In particular, Jesus asked the faithful to receive communion on the first Fridays for 9 consecutive months. The request was connected to a specific promise made to all who venerated and promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart. After Margaret Mary's death, the First Friday practice steadily spread in the church, endorsed by popes and promoted by saints, but it greatly increased in popularity when Margaret Mary was canonized a saint in 1920 by Pope Benedict XV. Why 9 consecutive months? The number 9 is traditionally associated with a novena and finds its origin in the 9 days that the apostles spent in prayer before Pentecost. A novena provides an extended amount of time for preparation and interior renewal. What am I supposed to do on First Fridays? Go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with the intention of honoring Christ's Sacred Heart. If you are not in a state of grace and thus unable to receive, you will also need to go to confession. What are the promises connected to this devotion? Jesus said to Saint Margaret Mary, quote, "In the excess of the mercy of my heart, I promise you that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who will receive communion on the first Fridays for 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They will not die in my displeasure, nor without receiving the sacraments, and my heart will be their secure refuge in that last hour, close quote. This means that if a person faithfully receives communion for 9 consecutive months on First Fridays, Jesus will grant that person extra graces at the time of their death, making it possible to repent of their sins and receive the last rites. This promise is the last of 12 promises connected to the devotion of the Sacred Heart, particularly attached to the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in one's home. First promise, I will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. Second, I will establish peace in their homes. Third, I will comfort them in all their afflictions. Fourth, I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. Fifth, I will bestow abundant blessings upon all their undertakings. Sixth, sinners will find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Seven, lukewarm souls shall become fervent. Eight, fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. Ninth, I will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. 10th, I will give to priests the blessing, the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. 11th, those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart. And 12th, I promise you, in the excessive mercy of my heart, that all my powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays in 9 consecutive months the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be safe refuge in this last moment. Are the first Fridays a ticket to heaven? It is not as simple as going to Mass for 9 months and then clocking out, never going to Mass again and leading a sinful life. The entire purpose of this devotion is to draw a person closer to the heart of Christ. If a person fulfills these obligations with sincere faith, it is natural for he or she to be closer to God and better prepared for death. The moment that this devotion is observed in a superstitious manner, neglecting the need to live a virtuous life, all bets are off, and Jesus' promise is null and void. Jesus wants us to rest on his heart, like St. John, and the First Friday devotion is an opportunity for us to encounter him more than just on Sundays and to deepen our love of him. Coming to know, love, and trust that we may take rest in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and place our anxieties within is what the First Fridays are all about. Next, February 8 is kind of like the Feast of Our Lady of Virtues. So I want to talk about that a little bit next. We first read of Mary's virtues in the book of the patriarchs and the kings of God's people. Mary could not fail to inherit all the glory of her ancestors because not only did their blood flow in her veins, but Mary used them as models of virtue. It is the contestable truth that Mary's faith was as strong as Abraham's, her obedience as great as that of Isaac's, and her gifts of gentleness and piety equaled those of Jacob. Her purity equaled that of Joseph, her courage, the courage of David, and her wisdom, that of the great and peace-loving Solomon. And so it necessarily follows that Mary is called the mother of mankind, as well as the first of all women and like Sarah, the mother of all believers. The beauty of Rachel and the fertility of Leah, the integrity and valor of Deborah, the zeal, the fearlessness and saintliness of Judith, the prudence and the happiness of Esther, all these admirable qualities we find united in our queen as the line of all her ancestors meet in the center of her, for which they were formed and whom they symbolized. These great men and women so renowned in the ancient law were models for Mary. Their virtues shone in her soul with such added unbelievable splendor that there was the same difference between Mary and her models that there is between a real man and his portrait, between the architect's plan for a palace and the palace itself, between a shadow and the object which cost it. Love the lovable Mother of God. Love her tenderly and constantly. Honor her before men. Speak of her with reverence and zeal. Read about her often. Perform works of piety in her honor. Finally, pray often to her. Ask for sentiments as tender as those which the most devoted and the most celebrated of her followers had for her, and all the virtues which made those followers so pleasing to her, so that with Mary's help, her glory may in part at least be yours when you give up your soul with the name of Mary on your lips. Then the gates of heaven cannot fail to swing wide open without delay, as the ark was opened for the dove, which appeared bearing an olive twig in its beak. In order to have that name, which will bring us such happiness and salvation on our lips when we are dying, we must have it constantly in our hearts while we live. Today is tomorrow is February 8th, and that will be the feast of St. Jerome Emiliani. He is the patron of orphans and abandoned children. A careless and irreligious soldier for the city-state of Venice, Jerome was captured in a skirmish at an outpost town and chained in a dungeon. In prison, Jerome had a lot of time to think, and he gradually learned how to pray. When he escaped, he returned to Venice, where he took charge of the education of his nephews and began his own studies for the priesthood. In the years after his ordination, events again called Jerome to a decision and new lifestyle. Plague and famine swept northern Italy. Jerome began caring for the sick and feeding the hungry at his own expense. While serving the sick and the poor, he soon resolved to devote himself as his property solely to others, particularly to abandoned children. He founded three orphanages, a shelter for penitent prostitutes and a hospital. Around 1532, Jerome and two other priests established a congregation, the Clerks Regular of Somasca, dedicated to the care of orphans and the education of youth. Jerome died in 1537 from a disease he caught while tending the sick. He was canonized in 1767. In 1928, Pius XI named him the patron of orphans and abandoned children. Like I said, his liturgical feast day is on Saturday, February 8th. A reflection. Very often in our lives, it seems to take some kind of imprisonment to free us from the shackles of our self-centeredness. When we're caught in some situation we don't want to be in, we finally come to know the liberating power of another, with a capital A. Only then can we become another for the imprisoned and the orphaned all around us. All right. The last saint we're going to talk about today is St. Josephine Bakhita. Her feast day is also on Saturday, this coming Saturday, on February 8th. For many years, Josephine Bakhita was a slave, but her spirit was always free, and eventually that spirit prevailed. Born in Olgosa in the Darfur region of southern Sudan, Josephine was kidnapped at the age of 7, sold into slavery, and given the name Bakhita, which means fortunate. She was resold several times. Finally, in 1883, to Callisto Legnani, Italian consul in Khartoum, Sudan. 2 years later, he took Josephine to Italy and gave her to his friend Augusto Micheli. Bakhita became a babysitter to Mimina Micheli, whom she accompanied to Venice's Institute of the Catechumens, run by the Canossian sisters. While Mimina was being instructed, Josephine felt drawn to the Catholic Church. She was baptized and confirmed in 1890, taking the name Josephine. When the Michelis returned from Africa and wanted to take Mimina and Josephine back with them, the future saint refused to go. During the ensuing court case, the Canossian sisters and the Patriarch of Venice intervened on Josephine's behalf. The judge concluded that since slavery was illegal in Italy, she had actually been free since 1885. Josephine entered the Institute of St. Magdalene of Canossa in 1893 and made her profession 3 years later. In 1902, she was transferred to the city of Chio, northeast of Verona, where she assisted her religious community through cooking, sewing, embroidery, and welcoming visitors at the door. She soon became well-loved by the children, attending the sisters' school and the local citizens. She once said, quote, "Be good, love the Lord, pray for those who do not know him. What a great grace it is to know God." Close quote. The first steps toward her beatification began in 1959. She was beatified in 1992 and canonized 8 years later. Josephine's body was mutilated by those who enslaved her, but they could not touch her spirit. Her baptism set her on an eventual path toward asserting her civic freedom and then service to God's people as a Canossian sister. She, who worked under many masters, was finally happy to address God as master and carry out everything that she believed to be God's will for her. At this point, we would like to say the Legion of Mary Tessera prayers, the Catena.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising,
fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array?
My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Immaculate Conception,
pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's legion of angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. A faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. A courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone, in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you all for listening. We welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible: Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware; Mr. Tony McGinley of Oremos Communications; A.J. Laporto, who provided the music; all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m., and may God's abundant blessing be upon all of you.